Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Good morning. It's good to see your beautiful, beautiful faces today. Man, thank you. I was hanging out with the Lord last night and at the piano, and I just started singing a song that I hadn't sung in, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years or something. And all of a sudden, it just kind of erupted out of me, and I thought, well, I'm a little rusty at doing this on a stage, but I'm not rusty at home worshiping Jesus. And I just felt like singing this over you today and inviting you to sing it with me. Are you all right with that? Yeah. Two of you are.
As long as as it may last. To you I give, and to you I give my present, yeah. And to you I give my past, as your thoughts, 'cause your thoughts are higher than mine, yeah. And your words, God, are deeper than mine. Your love and your love, God, it's stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. Take all of me.
Come on, church, just sing that out. Your thoughts
and your thoughts are higher than mine. Your words and your words, God, are deeper than mine. Your love and your love, God, is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. Take all of me. Take all of me. Come on, sing that out. Take all of me. Here is my life. I lay it before you. Take all of me, Jesus. Take all of me. Here's my life. Take all of me. Here is my life, Lord.
Doesn't that feel good?
This is where the joy is. This is where the peace is. This is where the life is. Oh. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life.
Let's give him a shout of praise this morning. Come on. When you're going to preach, it's a good little song to sing. Your thoughts are higher than mine. Your words are deeper than mine. Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. Because he's a much better preacher than me. He's a much better everything. And I just want him to flow through me today. How you doing? It's good to see you. I believe the peace of God is here today. Because wherever he is, there is peace. Amen. I want to welcome everybody online this morning. I want to welcome everybody in our family center. Can we give the family center a big round of a welcome today? Yeah. So I want to jump into what the Lord has given me for today. I woke up one morning this last week out of a sound sleep reciting Psalm 46. Now, some people might think that that's sort of normal for me, but I got to tell you, quoting scripture as I come to consciousness is not the norm for me. But it happened, and the Lord just began to speak to me through it over the last few days. And I just want to spend a really short time encouraging you today with what he's given me in that. And then I want to spend a few minutes having a little bit of family talk at the end, okay? About all that's going on around us. So if you have your Bibles, open them up today to Psalm 46. This psalm was a song, and it was set to music, and it was sung, and it was divided. It's divided into three stanzas. You know, in a hymnal, we had the stanzas. Now we just have the words on the screen, but the three stanzas, three parts. And each stanza ends with the Hebrew word Selah, which actually means to pause and think on that.
How many would say it's a good thing to pause and think? And this morning, as we read the scripture, I want us to be prayerful as we read it. And as we do that, that in moments we would pause and we would think. I think we could all stand to pause and think a little bit more in the day we're in. Amen? Psalm 46 is one of my favorites because it's an invitation to incredible reality and incredible promise of the presence of God and the power of God in the midst of every single circumstance. I read this last week that Martin Luther actually, during the dark and the very dangerous periods of the Reformation, he actually, when he would hear any kind of discouraging news, he'd say to his friend, "Hey, let's go sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil try to do his worst." That's what he said. I think if Martin Luther was alive today, he'd probably say, let's get to Psalm 46. He'd be like saying that every day, right? I want to say to you this morning, church, let's sing the 46th Psalm. Maybe we won't sing it. We'll just read it together this morning. So here we go. Verse 1, Psalm 46 says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. Pause and think about that. We're going to pause for about 5 minutes. I'm just kidding, we're not. Pause and think about that. I want us to say it out loud together. I think it's that good. Can we read it out loud together? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We will not fear. We will not fear. The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Therefore, I will not fear. Do you hear this? Though the earth be removed, though the oceans, though all these things are happening, though the earth even gives away, though the structures and support and the crumbling that's happening all around the psalmist, even when things seem to be falling apart on the earth, when the mountains even get thrown into the sea, though they're shaking in tremors, he says this, in the midst of the crashing of the waves, though the danger is threatening and it is real, it says, we will not fear. Why? Because we are rooted in this. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. We will not fear. Why? Because God is our strength. He is our very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for present can mean this here. It means to be found, to be encountered, to be discovered. The Hebrew word for present means to be found sufficient. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. He is found present. That's what he's saying. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He is to be encountered in the time of trouble. He is to be found and discovered in the time of trouble. He is sufficient and more than enough in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble, he is. So you think about this. That whenever there is trouble, he's present. Whenever there is trouble, he is present. You have trouble? Good news. He's present. He's present. He's present. When his people have trouble, he's present. When you're going through whatever you're going through, if it's troubling, he's present. And his presence is more than enough. And his presence is the promise that there is help. Church, I'm here to encourage you today with the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. His presentness to us, his presence is a sign that there is help. His presence is the promise that there is refuge. His presence is the promise that there is strength for whatever is happening. In other words, big waves, okay. Big God. Thank you, Stephen. Great shaking, okay. Big presence. Mountains, structures, trembling, okay. I will not fear in the midst of it. I will not fear. That is my posture. I will not fear. Why? God is with me. I won't fear because his presence is to be discovered in that moment. His presence is to be found in that moment. This is significant, church. This is significant for us right now. This is our confidence. This is our strength to stand in this place that we're in. This is the word of our testimony. Could you smile at me a little more? You're looking very serious. I've got good news, and you look like I'm giving you a death sentence. Yeah, come on. This is good news. This is a word of our testimony. We say this a lot, but we overcome by all that Jesus did through his death and resurrection. The blood that was poured out, we overcome by the blood. We also overcome by the word of our testimony. And church, this word from God is our testimony this morning. This is who he is. He is present. He is present now. And in this, we are not shaken ever by all that is happening. Though this is happening, though that is happening, there's a lot of those right now, right? We could make a really big list of all the those that are happening. But church, we are of a different kingdom, and our confidence is rooted in our King who is with us. I know this is simple, but it is deep and profound at the same time. Our confidence is in him. It is in who he is. And our confidence is rooted then in who he is to us. And who he is for us in a time of trouble. And our testimony now becomes this out of Psalm 46. God is my refuge. God is my strength. A present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though those are all around me, I will not fear. This is for us today. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise for that? I think he's worthy of it. It's true. So through all of this, through all of these huge things that's being described here, the psalmist says, all the things that are happening, verse 4, right there in the middle of it, he prophesies this. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. I feel like we should read it out loud together. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Right there in the midst of the shaking of the earth, right there in the midst of the battle that's going on, there is a river whose streams are flowing. And those streams are bringing gladness, and those streams are bringing joy. And the psalmist was picturing this river for the city of Jerusalem when he penned this, but it's a picture of what was to come in Jesus. Amen. When Jesus said, out of your belly, those who believe, whoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Guess what? That's for us. That's for us right in the middle of all the things. You are the holy habitation of the Most High that the scripture is talking about. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church of Jesus Christ is the spiritual Jerusalem. I'm fired up. And I didn't even take my vitamins today. I'm fired up. We are the church, the holy priesthood of believers from every nation. The church is the city of our God. Look at somebody and say, you're a city. You're a city. You're a city. We're the city of our God. This is the promise for us right now. This is the promise for his church. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The river is flowing and its streams are full of life, and it's making the church glad and joyful. I'm going to say love myself. I'm just going to pause and think about that for a minute. For real. See, we can look at this as like an idea or like this abstract truth, or we can look at this and say, this is a reality for me right now. There is a river, a stream flowing that is to make me glad because it's full of life. Regardless of the mountains and the oceans and all the shaking, there is a river flowing in me right now. And I am not talking about a sentimental Western kind of happiness. I'm talking about the oil of gladness and the joy of Jesus, the kind of joy that caused Jesus to endure the cross, that for the joy set before him, that's what we're talking about here. That in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the unknown, in the midst of the craziest days, she shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. God will help her because he is in the midst of her. He is in the midst of her. He is in the midst. I'm getting to be like an evangelist right now. I don't know what's happening to me. He's in the midst of him and him. This is like the Selah, yes. This is the promise. I'm for real, guys. I know you could have read this psalm 100 times, but this is a reality for us. This is to be encountered and discovered and experienced right now in the midst of what's going on. There's a river whose streams make glad. And the church are those now who house the presence of God. See, the greatest fear of an Eastern city like Jerusalem in a time of war or in a time of upheaval or calamity would be the cutting off of the water supply. But if the water supply could be secured, the city would endure. The city would actually thrive even in the midst of the greatest attack and adversity. Church, I want to tell you today, in the midst of some of the greatest attack and adversity that we're experiencing right now, church, we have an unlimited water supply. We have an unlimited water supply that can never be cut off unless we choose to disconnect from it. There is an unlimited flow of God right now in this minute, this moment, unless we decide to disconnect from it somehow. It's unlimited. There's a river of the Holy Spirit flowing in and out of you. How can you be happy right now? Guys, I am the most joyful I've been in months. And I should not be in the natural, but I have tapped in again to the river that is flowing, and it is bringing a gladness to me in the midst of all of the things. And it's for all of the children of God. It's for the church. It's for us to walk in right now in this moment. It has limitless supply and provision, carrying everything we need for this moment, every single thing. And it brings great joy and gladness right in the midst of whatever is going on around us. And it is ours, regardless of circumstance. Can we just say, regardless of circumstance? Turn to somebody and look at them and say it. Regardless of circumstance. I believe this, that one of the things that the Lord is doing right now is that he's calling us to a higher place of consistency and stability through gladness and joy, regardless of circumstance. That where our responses and where our feelings are not driven by circumstance, but where we have so tapped into the river that's flowing in us that our gladness actually overflows from us. Because God is in the midst of us, we shall not be moved, and we are living in the present reality of his presentness. This is, I believe, a place of maturity that we're stepping into. I want to speak this over you today. Because I know that even in your mind, you would say this is truth. But in your heart may not believe this. I want to speak this over you today. God is in the midst of you. God is in the midst of you, and you shall not be moved. That is what's available That is the invitation from him right now in this moment, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city, the people of our God. It's the good news. The next verse, verse 6, says this: the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. So all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about this glorious, glad river flowing. And then it jumps to the next verse: the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Psalmist is describing this incredibly unsettling landscape. He's describing this global threat of instability. Does that sound a little familiar right now? The nations are in chaos. The kingdoms are crumbling in upheaval. It's a crisis. It looks like your news feed. It literally looks, I feel like this psalm looks like our news feed right now in so many ways. But in the midst of this crisis, he says this in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In the midst of international crisis, that's what's being described here in Psalm 46. In the midst of political turmoil, cosmic chaos, the promise comes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of the angel armies is with us. And there is refuge in the God of Jacob. The ever-present help in time of trouble is present. The ever-present help in time of trouble is present as we turn to him. Church, we have to turn to him and enter into the presentness of his presence in the midst of this. We don't get to live just whatever way we want. If we live whatever way we want, we won't be able to access and live in the presentness of his presence. Remember, this psalm was not only written to Americans. This psalm is written to his people. Those who are following after him. Those who are walking in repentance. Those who are walking in righteousness. That is who he's speaking to, his people. It's the promise of Jesus. I'm with you always, even to the end. I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. Verse 8, we got to keep moving here. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. Do you see this back and forth? I mean, this back and forth, it's like calamity, God is with you. Difficulty, God is with you. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. That sounds amazing. It's a prophetic scene of what's to come. It's a prophetic scene. His kingdom, church, is a kingdom of peace. His name is the Prince of Peace. His name is the Prince of Peace, and he will one day bring final peace. Are you thankful for that this morning? Where the weapons of war will be no more. Where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more sorrow, where he will wipe every single tear from our eye, and the lion will indeed lay with the lamb, where all things will be made new. And this new creation, church, has already begun in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and it is being released through his church right now. We are a part of this. We are in this. So in the midst of all that's going on here in this psalm, as the nations rage, there is this crescendo of chaos that's happening right here. He says this in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Message version says it like this. It's so beautiful. Step out of the traffic. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics. Ouch. Above everything. The Passion Translation says it like this. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you'll see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. The CSB says it like this: stop your fighting. Stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Here's what I want to tell you guys as we read this in context to Psalm 46. Be still here is not just an invitation to be into a quiet meditation or a slower pace of life. This literally could be translated something like this: stop. Drop your guns. Stop your fighting, stop your striving, and know that I am God. See, we quote that scripture in a lot of different ways, and I think it works a lot of ways, but in this passage, he has just talked about the destruction of all the war and the military might and all of that. In the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of all that's going on, he's saying, stop, stop your fighting right now. We took a little time off last week, not this past week, but the week before, for a little vacation time at the lake, and I checked out from all the things. How many know it's good to check out from all the things? Sometimes you have to check out from all the things so you can make sure you are rightly checked in. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think I was in the middle of having a little vacation ice cream. Now, my wife told me this shirt looks like a vacation shirt. So guys, she was making fun of me a little bit for this shirt. And anyways, but so I was like in the middle of having vacation ice cream. Now, I don't know if you know this, but on vacation, ice cream is actually acceptable every day. Clearly. And it's just like a rule sometimes for us. And I'm like the champ. Nobody's asking for it. I'm like, we're going to ice cream again today. And guys, so I don't know what it is, but like sprinkles? Like, so, you know those little colored sprinkles that they put on like as a topping on dessert and stuff? Like, I would never have sprinkles ever in my normal life, like on my ice cream ever. But there is something about vacation ice cream with sprinkles that just makes me really happy. And I'm not kidding. Is this weird? Don't judge me, okay? So like we'd be getting the ice cream, they're like custard at the place, and I'd be like, yeah, sprinkles on that, please. And so like they like give me the sprinkles. I'm like, more sprinkles. I need more sprinkles. Like, I don't know. So like we're like sitting out at this table, our little family, and we're just like checked out, and I'm just sitting there with my sprinkle ice cream with my girls, and I'm like looking at the Table Rock Lake there. It's so beautiful, and we're not praying or talking about anything serious. We're not like, you know, even reading the Bible or anything, and we're just there. And all of a sudden, in that moment, it was like I heard the Lord gently speak to me. And this is what I heard him say in that moment. I knew and I know about all that's going on. I knew and I know about all that's going on. I knew about all that's happening before it happened. And I know everything about everything as it's happening now. This is what I heard him say to me. Josh, I know, so you be still and know that I am God. I know, so you be still and know that I am God. That I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. Church, right in the middle of the sprinkles, God spoke to me. I'm not saying it's a formula, but you might go have some ice cream today. Here's the thing. I wonder how many of our pursuits and our battles that are being fought right now by believers would shift and change if we would just be still and know. And know that He is God. I wonder what would happen if we would take a moment to step out of the traffic. I wonder what would happen if we would step out of the traffic and take a long, loving look right at His face. Above politics. Even above nationalism. Above everything. And if we would just surrender our anxieties and we would stop our striving. And what I felt like the Lord was saying as I just prayed into what I was hearing there as I was looking at the lake, I felt like He said this and He reminded me, I was not surprised. I was not caught off guard. Stop fighting like I don't know. Stop fighting like I didn't know. Stop freaking out like I'm not God and not on the throne. This battle is not yours to fight in the flesh. It's mine. I hope that this is bringing a freedom to your heart today. Church, I believe many things that are happening right now are from the enemy. There is destructive forces at work. We all know that. We all agree. But some of what is happening right now is a shaking from heaven. Some of what God is doing is a shaking from heaven. But here's what I know. All of it will be used for good for the purposes of heaven. Every single bit of it for a greater alignment and for a greater purifying and a greater reset of the greatest kingdom advance and the greatest kingdom expression that we have ever seen or known before, because He is making all things new. I do not know how He's going to do it. But my place is to know that He is God. You take God out of the equation and it gets very stressful. You take God out of an equation and you get striving. But you put God in it and you don't need to know. You just have to know He's God. You just have to know that He is God. I felt to encourage us today to not be distracted by fighting the wrong battles. You'll only become weary. You'll only become tired, wore out, and even confused. Did you know that one of the tactics and strategies of the enemy is to wear out the saints? Daniel 7 says it. I mean, he still is trying to do that. And I see so much of the church wore out right now. Many are weary right now. I've had moments of weariness too. I think we all have. But strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. That is the promise of the word. Strength will rise as we actively put our hope in Him and who He is. But when we fight the wrong battles, we become weary. We get tired. When we spend large amounts of time watching the battles, reading about the battles, or battling people, we become weary. And I believe that some of us have been fighting battles that He did not ask us to fight. And in some cases, we might actually be fighting against Him when we think we're fighting for Him. I'm not here to tell you what battles you're supposed to fight. I am going to tell you that you've got a big Holy Spirit in you that's leading you into all truth. If you will let Him flow in you, you will hear and you will know, as long as it comes from the place of surrender. Here's my life. Here's my life. I'm not going to try and fight these battles that I think you want to fight. I'm going to be still and know that You are God and let You speak to me about what I'm to be fighting and what I'm to be involved in. Because if I'm weary and tired, I have been fighting the wrong thing. Because there is a river whose streams make glad and refresh in the midst of the battle. That's where we stay plugged into. I'm here to encourage you this morning. As we close, Tyler, you can come to be still and to know. I want to encourage you, church, that this is a moment to Selah, to pause and actually think. to stop fighting, to stop striving for a moment. I want to encourage you, church, to step out of the traffic and fix your eyes on Jesus and to daily turn and take many long gazes at his face. Long gazes at his face, long loving looks at his face, that we would look at his face way more than we look at anything else. And that we would strengthen ourselves in this, the last verse of this psalm, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can we say that out loud together? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Would you stand with me this morning? Church, I want to encourage you. It may just be Stephen and me. But I want to encourage you this morning. He is with us. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. Though all the things are raging around us, I will not fear, because he is here. Can you lift your hands all over this place? Let's just begin to give thanks to the Lord right now. He is with us. This is a moment to be with him. This is a moment to be with him. He is with us. This is a moment to surrender ourselves and say, I am with you. And even right now we say, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. I pray for the oil of gladness. I pray for a release. I pray for a flow of the oil of gladness. Come on, just lift your voices, church. The oil of gladness. The joy of the Lord would be your strength in this moment. That the joy of the Lord would be your strength. I break off weariness and heaviness in Jesus' name. Weariness and heaviness have got to go. Jesus' name. Let's just sing this out one time. There is a river.
There is a river whose stream
make glad.
Make glad the city of our God. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of our God.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. We're already 2 minutes over. So I'm going to shift and I'm going to give a 2 minute family talk. Can you stand for 2 more minutes? Can you smile at me? Okay. I'm sure most of you are aware that the city of Springfield is proposing an ordinance that they're voting on tomorrow night that would require mandatory masking for 90 days, at least, anywhere in Springfield, meaning that all public businesses, basically any public setting, including churches, would require masks to be worn. And from what I understand, it seems that it's pretty certain that this is going to pass. and going to be implemented this week. We don't know. Something could change. They're voting on it tomorrow. So I know that there are a lot of strong opinions on masks. Could that be the understatement of the year? And I understand why. There's lots of different opinions, and I'm not here today to approach literally any of those differing opinions. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm the shepherd of this body. There are nearly 1,500 people that call Hope Church their church family. So I'm leading people from all kinds of different perspectives and vantage points on lots of, just say, strong opinions and on all the things. Can I get a smile? Regardless of what side of you're on in the mask conversation, here's what I want to say to our church today, that the Church of Jesus Christ should never divide over masks. Let me say it this way. The Church of Jesus Christ should never divide or break fellowship over masks. That the blood of Jesus that was poured out was way too precious. There can be differing opinions. There could be different viewpoints, and there should be. We are not all called to see everything the same way. We are called, however, to navigate every single thing through love. We are called to navigate every single thing through love, and I would even like to say through honest and honoring conversations. Through honest and honoring conversations. Here's what I need to say to you today, so it's really clear, that if this ordinance is implemented this week, I, as the pastor, as the leader of our church, along with our board, have prayed, and we have decided that we will follow the guidelines of our local leadership. That if this decision is made, and I want you to understand this as well, because I know there's a lot of different thoughts out there. I'll say this. I am not saying that there are not moments where the church has to break with government decisions because we are under a higher mandate from Jesus Christ. There are those moments for the church. I do not believe that wearing masks is one of them right now. I know that that may be upsetting to some of you, but I believe that we're to walk in unity through this. And we believe at this point that this is honoring to the Lord, which would mean that if this does pass this week, guess what? You're going to look like a bunch of bandits next week. And it's not going to be fun. None of what's going on is fun. But there is a river whose streams make glad in the midst of it. None of what's going on is what any single person on the planet would choose for. But I want to boldly encourage you today that regardless of where you are on mass, I want to encourage you, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves because you have to wear a mask. Do not decide to not come to church because you refuse to wear a mask. I think that's putting things out of place. We put Jesus first in this moment, and we can come and worship even with the mask on. I want to exhort you in this as well, to make a decision, to make a decision to refuse to allow division or dissension between you or any other believer over this or any other non-essential issue. Jesus' prayer was that we would be one and that we would show the world who he is through our love for one another. You can disagree to the ends of the earth, and that is okay. And we should sit and have those conversations, but we have to do it through love and respect and honor. We should never do it any other way. I know that many of you are carrying burdens, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I am just saying that we have to do this in a Jesus way, and I want to encourage you. If you need to stay home for any reason, just make sure it's not because you're refusing to wear a mask to come and worship Jesus together, okay? Man, I am way over the time. Can we give the Lord a big shout of praise just because he's worthy this morning? We do need to go so we can get the next crew in here today. We love you. If you have any questions, call the church office. We'd love to connect with you on that. The team's going to just sing that. I will rejoice. And I want to encourage you to sing it as you leave today. God bless you. We love you, Hope family.